Welcome back to the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Over the last 6 months, we've interviewed a wide variety of government executives who manifest the leadership and commitment needed to meet their varied missions. In this edition, we introduce you to five leaders who joined us on the Business of Government Hour to discuss critical issues facing their agencies. They are indeed profiles in leadership, and here's a glimpse. Chad Foljam, Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, focuses on delivering reliable and effective technology solutions to his agency.
Well, the FBI, again, has five branches. So as one of the five executive assistant directors, we serve as part of the senior leadership team with the director, the deputy director, and the associate deputy director. So any major strategy decisions or any investments we're going to make are done really at that level. When you look at the role of a chief information officer in the federal government, it does vary from place to place. I feel very fortunate with the backing that I've received from the director and the deputy director that we not only oversee the funds for IT and the policies, but also support the infrastructure and the portfolio of applications that support the various missions that we perform. Right now, of the almost $8 billion that is invested in the FBI for the various missions that we do carry out, about $1.4 billion is spent in the information technology area. My specific roles as a CIO is to provide leadership and a strategic direction, a vision, if you will, for where we're going, is to make sure that we have the right people, the right investments. And then with our portfolio, we have a governance process that includes a board called the Investment Management Board that we vet all major investments in IT projects.
Making sound IT investments rests on a clearly articulated strategic vision and a plan of action. Here's Foljam.
We actually have a published IT strategic plan, and it breaks down into five major areas: infrastructure, information sharing, transforming our workforce, improving IT management, and enhancing that customer satisfaction. The last couple years, we have focused quite a bit in all these different areas, everything from trying to put together a plan to consolidate data centers. Last year, we completed a project called our Next Generation Network. NGN was a complete replacement of the domestic network at over 800 locations in about a 10-month period. We put out all new gear, all new cryptology. We moved to an MPLS design and increased the bandwidth pretty dramatically. We're now finishing out a second major program called Next Generation Workspace. And that's where we actually did the field first, because we try to feed the warfighter first. And we're in the process of doing headquarters now. But it's putting out all the latest and greatest unified communication collaboration tools. So bringing instant messaging, voice over IP, web collaboration, document collaboration into the FBI's classified network. We have had some major wins in our systems management area, information security, project management. You go down the list of things that we set out to do, we've hit them all pretty hard.
Meeting mission is a key focus for Alejandro Mayorkas, director of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. He spoke to me about his effort to ensure the integrity of the U.S. immigration system, forging a well-managed, modern system.
Our agency was created as part of the Department of Homeland Security following the Homeland Security Act of 2002, and it stems from the Legacy Immigration and Naturalization Service, or INS. And our portfolio is really the administration of our country's legal immigration system. We also have the responsibility of ensuring the integrity of the system that we administer and safeguarding our national security. And it is in those latter regards that we fit into the Department of Homeland Security's overarching mission of securing our homeland. I am the leader of the agency, and so in that regard, I represent the agency in public, and I help steer the course of the agency. Let me say that because of my style of management, I would describe myself as the chief collaborator, because I believe in leadership through collaboration and through teamwork.
Mayorkas leads an organization guided by a set of core principles that will assist his agency to successfully meet its mission.
I'll mention it first, and that is consistency. Our workforce deserves consistency, and the communities that we serve deserve consistency, and that is something that we need to achieve. It is not necessarily our greatest strength currently, but we are certainly devoted to achieving it. Efficiency is a second principle, and I identify them, Michael, in no particular order. But efficiency is something that is incumbent upon us as a public service agency. We have customers, and therefore it is customer service. But there's also another principle at issue, why it is so important that we be efficient, because we spend customers' money. And we therefore have to be very careful in how we spend our money. Integrity is, of course, another core value, another core guiding principle. Protecting the integrity of the system from those who seek to exploit it, but it also speaks, of course, to the integrity of our workforce. We are guardians of the public trust, and therefore integrity is of critical importance. And the fourth is transparency. We serve the public, and we have to be held accountable to the public. And to that end, we have to be transparent in the information that we provide and in how we conduct our business and why.
Conducting his agency's business requires USCIS to modernize its processes. Here's Alejandro Mayorkas, director of USCIS, on forging the U.S. immigration system for the 21st century.
Michael, we are a paper-based system. And so we embarked a number of years ago on an effort, a modernization effort that was termed transformation, because it really is transforming our agency from a paper-based system to an electronic environment. And it will allow our customers to access us through computer rather than the actual submission of completed paperwork. And the efficiencies gained by that are obvious from a processing perspective. But there's also successes that are to be achieved through that modernization in our efforts to combat fraud and help safeguard our national security.
The U.S. federal government is facing unprecedented challenges, so stable labor management relations are needed more than ever.
Well, the FLRA, Federal Labor Relations Authority, is the sole agency responsible for federal sector labor management relations. We're modeled, if you will, organizationally after the National Labor Relations Board. We have a similar mission. Theirs is private sector jurisdiction. Ours is federal sector. So federal agencies, federal unions, we have jurisdiction over the labor relations and labor law of 1.6 federal non-postal employees. We are a creation of the Civil Service Reform Act of 1978 under President Carter. Prior to that, some of our function, not all of it, but some of it was performed under executive orders dating back to President Kennedy in 1962.
That was Carol Waller-Pope, chairman of the Federal Labor Relations Authority, who spoke to me about the ways her small but mighty agency continues to improve labor management relations in the federal government.
We're small but mighty. We take our mission seriously because what we recognize is if there are unhealthy labor management relations in the federal sector, then it affects the federal government's mission. Certainly, we're structured in a way that we have 7 regional offices under the auspices of the General Counsel, which is a separate component. We are some 130 employees currently. I became chairman of the agency in 2009, February 2009, appointed by President Obama's chairman. I was a sitting member of the authority. I began my political role with the agency in 2000 as a member and became chairman after the election in 2008. We're struggling to increase our budget and improve our mission. We've had success. We have support from the Office of Management and Budget and the administration. I think there is recognition that we have an important mission because if there's a lot of labor unrest, then it affects the mission of the respective agencies.
Pope's focus is on reinvention, not restoration. She's working to make the agency flexible and strategically poised to address the needs of this changing environment.
Challenges or opportunities. I inherited the agency, I would say, in the lowest point in its 30-year history. So that was a challenge. I think the biggest challenge was that I walked into the door, literally, but I was already there at the agency, when we were the 34th small agency in the employee satisfaction ranking out of 34. My tagline, if you will, was, we have nowhere to go but up. And it was a challenge. I had been there during the low years of employee morale, and I knew that you don't turn around a culture or improve morale overnight.
Her vision for the future focuses on revitalization, reinvention, and reengagement.
The revitalization, reinvention, and reengagement really came about around our lack of really mission performance. We all know that success breeds success, and employees feel good about their workplace if it's a thriving workplace and you're accomplishing your mission. We were not doing that. And so the revitalization, reinvention, and reengagement seemed to fit not my vision, but what our shared priorities were for the agency. I just tried to come up with a way to describe it internally and externally. It's hopefully representative of all of what the issues were for us and for the parties that we serve.
The 2008 financial crisis and its lingering impact triggered the most severe economic recession in 70 years. The U.S. Department of the Treasury has played a critical role in the federal government's response. Dan Tinglerini, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Management, details his efforts managing resources and operations for the federal department charged with reforming the financial system.
The job has two formal appointments as the Assistant Secretary of Management and the Chief Financial Officer. And really what my office does is provide resources for the entire department. Those are financial resources, human capital resources, contractual resources, and technological resources. We also then focus on things like small business participation, records and information management, and then just the operations of the departmental offices. Departmental offices is about 1,700 people, $300 million program. My office is this great combination of wholesale in doing, you know, the budget for the Treasury Department, the financial statements of the Treasury Department, which include all the assets and liabilities of the federal government. We roll them up. And then retail. And that means literally retail in the form of the cafeteria in the main Treasury Department building. So I joke, if I can't get any traction on the wholesale, I can go down and worry about the menu in the basement of the main Treasury building.
Tinglerini outlines the many challenges he faces in his role at Treasury.
So all three of our top challenges, I would just condense into the one big issue that we've been dealing with as a department, and that's the global financial crisis. And frankly, for us, our job is in providing the resources and the support and the systems and the structures for the department to contend with that, to contend with, you know, the early on issues of trying to grapple with it, turn it around, and then our efforts now to continue to foster the recovery and stabilize the recovery and push economic growth. And so really our job is to support those incredible, hardworking, smart people in the Department of Treasury who are pushing forward on the administration's efforts, our collective efforts, frankly, to improve the economy.
In making this happen, the Department of the Treasury established three priority performance goals that seek to drive its focus and achieve measurable results. Here's Tinglerini.
Number one in our high priority goals is repairing and reforming the financial system and really expanding economic opportunity as kind of a related component to that. The next is increasing voluntary compliance in our tax system. And then also as part of that, simplifying the tax code and working to, you know, improve the tax code and continually focusing on efforts to make voluntary compliance an easier default location. The final one is increasing our paperless transactions. And in many ways, these three kind of high priority goals reflect the three kind of levels that we work at. One, the Treasury Department works at this national and international level where we have an oversight relationship. The next level, the increasing voluntary tax compliance, really deals with how Treasury interacts with the American public directly as a service provider. What we want to do is make sure that we're constantly working on that system to make it fairer, to make it easier. Third one, the increasing paperless transactions and saying that we have a responsibility to really improve the way the Treasury Department operates at a fundamental level. And one of the ways we want to get at that is ask ourselves, what are those business processes we employ? Could we reduce the amount of paper we're moving around, paper being a proxy, frankly, for inefficiency?
Realizing efficiencies and improving business operations has become an imperative at the U.S. Department of Defense. Dave Winogrand, Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer at the DOD, offers insights into the way it's improving its business and systems operations to provide the best mission support possible to the armed forces.
There's been a lot of energy in recent years about the importance of the sort of business portfolio of the Department of Defense. What's the business of the department and how is that run? About 2 years ago, and 2008, a statute created the Office of the Deputy Chief Management Officer, directed the Deputy Secretary of Defense to also serve as the department's Chief Management Officer, created a Senate-confirmed position called the Deputy Chief Management Officer, and then created chief management officers in each of the military departments. You know, the whole idea is to align and improve the business operations of the entire Department of Defense. How can we look at improving both effectiveness and efficiency? How could you help others to transform if you weren't willing to be transformative yourself? The actual office of the Deputy Chief Management Officer is pretty small. And then there's a much larger business transformation agency that is sort of the hands and feet and execution agent for the organization. And then this heavy reliance upon the military departments, the key functional owners.
Winogrand focuses on his specific efforts.
And I'm really focused on is this looking at the end-to-end processes of the organization and moving away from a world where we only look at things by organization or by functional view. And we only look at things as systems that have to be built or bought. But instead, we look about how you optimize processes. It is the first time that the Department of Defense has really ever taken that strategic look. Other key things for us are strategic planning, a key emphasis on strategic planning for the entire organization, creating a culture that's outcome-based and has good performance measures in place, and then several sort of key initiatives that are near and dear to all of our hearts, reforming IT acquisition, electronic healthcare, and a number of other sort of functional issues.
Winogrand recognizes that he faces many challenges.
There's this issue about alignment. We have come from a world that was highly disconnected, if you will, or certainly decentralized. You have this sort of conflict of verticals and horizontals. And so this key issue of the power of alignment, and how do you get an entire enterprise as big as the Department of Defense to be focused on common goals and outcomes? Because if you can think first about the process change, then you can drive how you insert technology to get the work done. Sort of coupled with that is this idea about we've grown very used to, in the IT space, a systems view of the world. We move very rapidly to the sort of bright, shiny object known as the IT system. And we start to forget that what we were really trying to do was to create an outcome. It's about thinking about outcomes and then moving to a more service-oriented world. The third one is, you know, sort of the cliche, but one we can never lose sight of, and it's the cultural change stuff. The issue is about creating and maintaining the proper sense of urgency so that you can have speed and agility. And the issue is about transparency and the sort of low trust environment that we all still live in today in big organizations, which exacerbates that first problem of personal control.
Dave Winogrand elaborates on DoD's strategic management plan and the five core business goals identified in it.
The strategic management plan has been a seminal moment for us. How can we make sure that the business of the Department of Defense is aligned, integrated, improving, and how would we know that? The strategic management plan is the first venture, I would say, about a real-life strategic management process for the entire Department of Defense. And as you mentioned, there are five major themes. There's supporting the all-volunteer force. So think about things like quality of life issues and improving medical care and electronic health records, supporting contingency business operations. So what are we doing to reduce the need for cash on the battlefield? What are we doing to improve in theater contracting? The third one is reforming the DoD acquisition and support processes. So that's got some really interesting stuff about IT acquisition reform, energy efficiency, export controls. The fourth one is enhancing the civilian workforce. So how can we do things like shortening the hiring process, shortening the time it takes to get security clearances? And then the fifth one is strengthening financial management. So audit readiness, accuracy of payments. And as I said, it's been a big step forward. And there's this tight coupling from the QDR down about a goal and then the performance measures and how those would tie to the budget.
Next up, perspectives on power, security, and leadership in the 21st century, when the special edition of the Business of Government magazine returns.